I guess I'll have you turn to Genesis 3. It may be a while before I get there, but that's kind of the direction I'm aiming. Maybe I'll hit the mark tonight, maybe not. We'll find out. Genesis chapter 3, I mentioned last Sunday that I'd been looking through my file cabinet and noticed the folder with the letter Q, and I thought, well, what in the world? I mean, all my titles, I file them by the first word, first letter of each title. That way I can find them, usually. And I thought, well, what messages have I preached starting with the word Q? I was surprised to find about 100. And I thought, well, what in the world were the subjects? And as I said, looking through, and there's three subjects in those about 100 messages. One dealt with quality, the other questions, and the other quitting. And I thought, well, that's three good messages. So I did the first one, don't know if it's good or not, on quality. And I want to try to deal with questions tonight. Questions. A phrase that asks for information. And the other side of the coin in dealing with questions is something that reveals doubt or uncertainty. A question is used to receive information. Where do you live? What's your name? What's your favorite movie? Those things. You receive information. You ask God for some information. You ask the person to inform you. A question also is to eliminate confusion. It takes more than one question with me most of the time to do that. To eliminate confusion, I don't know what you mean. Boss person tells you to do something, and you don't understand what they're saying. You ask the question to clear up or to eliminate confusion because you sure want to know the truth. You want to make sure you're on the same page. I've said often, if you talk to me personally, I don't change the page easily. If you're talking about one subject and shift to the other, you may not take me with you. Confusion. Another thing about a question, you ask a question or it deals with to demonstrate humility. You ask the question, which in a real way makes you lower than the person. It implies they know something you don't. And that's a part of a question. And also, a question is to gain empathy or to care. Tell me about your mama being sick. How's your uncle doing? This is a dangerous one, but how are you doing today? You ask a question because you care, to understand the other person's point of view. You ask. And sometimes their answer to your question, their response, helps you to understand a completely different viewpoint. And your opinion may change about the subject or about that person because you've learned more. The question has been answered. A question also is used to improve a relationship. It draws you in together. Asking a question helps them hopefully to open up and draw you closer. There's more of a connection when there's questions involved. A question can solve a problem. I use YouTube quite often and want to ask this question. How do I do this? What is done to fix this problem? The question is, how do I do it? What do I need to do? And we should ask the Lord that kind of question quite often. These are more than just dealing with everyday life. it's going to be hopefully applied to our spiritual man and our spiritual condition. Another thing about a question, it's used to reach an agreement. That's what Putin and the president of Ukraine is hinting around and talking about, and don't know if it ever will happen. But they are suggesting if we can just get together and talk it over, maybe we can work things out. That happens more often to those who are friends or used to be friends, I guess. Or with people, you sit down and you talk and you ask questions to where you can understand and come to an agreement. But I guess more importantly, the last thought about a question is to encourage positive change. I want to change. I need to do better. What do I need to do? How can this work out? Questions are used to cause a change, and that's how the Bible addresses questions. The Lord is trying to help us. He's trying to work something good in our lives, and the questions that I'll mention tonight are to that end, with that desire and that goal. Could I mention first, questions can deceive. In Genesis 3, verse 1, first question in the Bible, I guess that's a pretty good place to start when you're dealing with questions. Now, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, here's the question, but not really the question. You'll understand in a minute. I can already hear in your mind, what's he talking about? Good question. I hope I answered that. And he said unto the woman, here's the question the devil asked through the serpent. Yea, hath God said, did God really say this? Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. The question he asked is, did God really say you can eat everything in the garden? There's the question. But the question is meant to bring a question to Eve's mind. The question is intended to cause Eve to question God. I say first, questions can deceive. I think the question he put in her mind that caused her to ask a question clearly deceived her. What does the Bible say? Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived in the transgression. She heard the question and she asked her own question and she didn't give the right response. Questions can deceive. She asked, it's in essence, did God really tell me the truth? Did he really tell us the truth? Later on, the devil will say, God trying to hold something back from you. He knows when you eat, you will become as God. Your eyes will be open. Another statement that led to another question in Eve's mind. Is God trying to keep something from me? Does God love me? Are you hearing the questions? Does God really love me like he claims to and says he does? The question that the devil asked caused Eve to ask a question that she did not respond to quickly and correctly because she was deceived. Sometimes questions, maybe the devil's told you, you don't really believe that Bible, do you? You don't really think there's a God, do you? There are questions that deceive. There's questions that will hurt and harm. The devil's still asking the same questions. And if he can get to me and you to make us doubt or to make us wonder or cause us to question God or his word or his will or his love or his power, he'll do it. Questioning God and his word. He makes us doubt, the devil does. Oh, my, how dangerous that is. And well, the other question we may ask from this kind of conversation with the devil in our flesh is this. If God really does love me, why does he let the things happen to me that he does? Why am I having it so hard?
Why does my prayer not get answered? If God is God and He loves me, why does He let it happen? But now that He's let it happen, why didn't He change it? Why didn't He make it better? Question. Deceives us into where we will believe. I'm not so sure God loves me like He says. I'm not so sure God is in control. Questions. They deceive. Oh, I have prayed and God has not answered. Why? Oh, is God able? Does He care? Questions can deceive. I want you to look on in verse 9 of this same chapter, Genesis 3. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, here's another question God asked, this one. Where art thou? He says, now He didn't ask the question because He needed the answer. He knew better than Adam where Adam was. But He asked the question to make Adam ask himself the question, where am I? God asked Adam, where are you? To make Adam ask himself, where am I? So questions not only can deceive, but they can detect. All of a sudden, when God asked this question, Adam was aware. He detected a problem that he had not really recognized. Now he knew he was naked, and he knew he had sinned, and he tried to cover up the sin. But at this time, everything seemed to be all right. But then God came into the garden. And boy, they ran and hid. So this question detects. It revealed to Adam where he really was. Where are you, Adam? So Adam has to ask himself the question, where am I? Where am I? Oh, we ought to all ask ourselves that question tonight. Where am I? Where am I? We get so busy with life. We get so busy with daylight and dark, living another day, dealing with the issues, dealing with work, dealing with problems, dealing with people, living a life that we sometimes will not detect just where we're at spiritually. And we'll be a lot further away from God than we realize. The question is, Lord, where am I? Help me detect. Help me to understand. Open my eyes that I might see where I really am spiritually. Oh, there's a lot of questions like that. Where am I financially? Am I making the right plans and doing the right things? Or where I retire, I'll be set up financially? Where am I along my scale, my goal? How am I doing financially? Or health-wise, how am I doing as far as my health? Am I taking my medicine like I should? Do I exercise like I should? How's that cholesterol? How's that blood pressure? We keep a check on those things. We ask ourselves and we detect the real fact. Maybe socially, am I liked? Do people like me? Do they accept me? Do they shun me? We ask ourselves all the time these kind of things to say, where am I financially? Nothing wrong with that. Socially, nothing wrong with that. Health-wise, nothing wrong with that. But we need to ask ourselves, how am I? Where am I spiritually? Where am I? And take a good look and don't fudge. Don't grade yourself on a curve. I never did understand that, but I sure did appreciate it many times. I'll tell you that. Which means you get better than what you really deserve. We should never do that spiritually. Oh, we need to ask God. There's the question. Ask God, where am I, Lord? Show me. One of the biggest failures in the Christian life, in the Baptist church especially, is not a constant check on our spiritual condition and where we are spiritually. One of the greatest problems you'll ever have is not seeing yourself as you are. Jeremiah, really the Lord warned us about that in Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? If you're just doing a gradual, half-hearted check every once in a while, you ain't going to get a full, correct analysis of any condition or any situation. And especially the spiritual condition of where are we? Where am I? Because our own heart is deceitful. You can't even trust your own heart. It is desperately wicked. That word deceitful means deceptive. It means our heart's not honest. And our heart may lie to us if we're not really careful. If we don't really ask the question, where am I, God? Where am I? Show me. We may in our heart say, I think I'm doing pretty good. Especially looking around, I'm doing better than most. Or I'm surely doing as well as the average, which right now average is pretty pitiful. Amen, preacher, you're right, thank you. Even though you didn't say it, I'll say it. I know it hurts to say it. I never did like preachers to say amen or so, say oh me. I ain't saying oh me out loud, I'm just telling you right now. I'm going to keep that to myself. We need to detect by asking ourselves these questions. Lord, am I really right with you? Where am I? Is there anything you're not pleased with? Show me where I failed. Show me what I need to do. For my heart is deceitful. It will not be honest to me. It will not tell the truth. And if my heart won't tell me the truth, I'll come to a wrong conclusion. If I don't really ask, honestly, where am I, Lord? Show me. You show me. Because my heart says, I'm okay. Or the other end of the spectrum, your heart may say, you are so rotten. You are so vile. You're no good. You're worthless. You just will not try. And either one's a lie, probably. But the Lord tells us the truth if we'll ask the question. To my questions. Questions can deceive. Questions can detect. And let me say this and I'll go on. What did Adam do? When God came to the garden and said, where art thou? You know what Adam and Eve did? They ran to God. Now they had messed up and they had done dumb stuff. But one thing they did do was right is when they got caught, they ran to God. And that's what we need to do. Questions can deceive. Questions can detect. Questions can discourage. Turn with me to Habakkuk. I tell you what, you go to Psalm 13. Habakkuk could take you too long. I want to be past it before you get there. Psalm 13. And while you're looking, if you listen, we'll save a couple of seconds. Habakkuk 1:2. I'm talking about questions can discourage. Oh, Lord, how long shall I cry? And thou wilt not hear. Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Lord, how long am I going to have to cry to you? I have begged you. I have cried out, and seems like you're not listening. How long? And he goes further to explain his situation. Even cry out unto thee of violence. This is a terrible situation he's in. There's violence all around him. And he's calling out to the Lord, and it seems like the Lord has not heard, and he cries, asking a question. How long? How much longer do I need to cry? And you're not hearing. And then the psalm where I had you turn, Psalm 13, verse 1. How long wilt thou forget me? Another question. Sometimes questions can discourage you. Oh, Lord, forever. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Lord, I feel like you've forgotten me. I feel like you're gone. How long is it going to last? How long are you going to hide your face from me? This kind of question, even though it's a good question and a searching question, and a productive question, it's also a discouraging question. It comes from the heart of discouragement because somebody implied here is walking with the Lord and loving Him and still struggling with, I can't even find God. And he hasn't answered my prayer. Prayers that mean stuff. Prayers that are important. Prayers that I'd stake my life on. Things I'd give everything if God would just hear. And he's not listening. Questions can discourage. Jeremiah 12:1, don't turn, just listen. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Another question. Wherefore are all they happy that did deal very treacherously? Another question that can discourage. Why in the world do the wicked have it so good and me trying to live right have it so hard? Why do the wicked prosper? Why does the godly suffer? Another question. By the way, a lot of these questions don't have an answer. There's a whole lot of questions. I wish I'd have just said, I don't know. I don't know. It'd been a whole lot better than try to be preachery and answer the question where I should have just said, I don't know. I said this not long ago. If Job's friends had just come and said, Job, we don't know, they'd have been a whole lot better off. And so would have Job. But they came and tried to explain it, give their opinion, and they made matters a lot worse. A whole lot better sometimes to just say, I don't know. But I do know this, God is still good, and God is still God, and I can trust him. Here's questions that discourage. Lord, why are you letting this happen? Why aren't you answering my prayer? Why don't things improve? Why is this happening, Lord? I know you're God, or at least I think you are. Questions can discourage. Turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Be reading verse 6 to begin with. When they therefore were come together, they asked him of him. Another question. Saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Well, I'll just be honest. That sounds like a pretty good question to me. I mean, I think that's heading in the right direction. But the Lord must have had a different opinion. Because in verse 7 he said, after they questioned him, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the things or the seasons or the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. They ask what I think is a pretty good question, and they must have too. Is this when you're going to set up your kingdom? And he said, it ain't none of your business. It is not yours to know. So I'll say this. He is trying to say, instead of looking toward when am I coming, you walk with me today. You doubt that? Look in verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the earth. Verse 6, they said, is this when you're going to set up the kingdom? The question. And he says in verse 7, it isn't yours to know. Here's what you're to do. Verse 8 says, you be my witnesses. So I say all that to say this. Questions can distract. Their question, is this the time you're going to set up the kingdom? Even though it may have been a good question, it wasn't the best question. The best question would have been, what do you want us to do now? What is your will for us today? Because that's where he points them. You're my witnesses. In other words, and when he rose, remember? When he ascended, the angel said, why are y'all standing here looking up? What did he tell you? Go tell people. So they were distracted, and their question reveals a distraction. They're looking for the kingdom. They're looking for the life of ease. They're looking for deliverance. And God said, it ain't time yet. You serve me. And a lot of times our questions will distract us, which means we're not focused on the right things. Some things that seem pretty important, which, by the way, are you going to set up the kingdom right now? Is pretty important to me. I said already, it's not a bad question. It's just not the best question. It's not the right question for the time. And a lot of things that seem so important to us shouldn't be as important. And these things will distract us. How am I going to make a better living? How am I going to handle this situation? How am I going to take care of that family member? How will I handle this? A lot of good questions, but questions that distract us from the most important thing, serving God and living for Him. What questions we ask tells us what's more important to us or most important to us. At that time, the most important thing on their mind is the kingdom finally coming? And there's a lot of questions that we ask that reveal our priorities. There's a lot of things that tells us about ourselves. But then lastly, I'm talking about this evening, questions. Questions can deceive, detect, and discourage, and distract. Look on in Acts 16. I want to close with this thought. Questions can determine. Questions can determine. Acts 16, verse 30. And brought them out and said, this is the Philippian jailer bringing out the men of God, Paul and Silas. And here's the question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? A question that determined his eternity. At least his response to it. A question that means, how do I go to heaven? How do I escape hell? How do I get what you've got? A question that determines, it determined his eternity. I say this evening, there's no greater question we could ever ask, man. How do I get saved? What do I have to do to have my sin forgiven? Good questions, but questions we must get the right answer to and the right solution settled in our lives. There's a lot of important questions in our lives. I mentioned this morning who we marry, what career you have, where you live. A lot of good questions, important questions, life-changing, life-altering questions. But there's nothing in this world, nothing in your life more important than, do I know I'm saved? How do I get saved? Am I ready to leave this world? Has my soul been forgiven? Look in verse 31, the answer, by the way. And they said, here's the way, here's how you get saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. They said, you believe on the Lord, and you can be saved. And by the way, your family members can get saved the same way if they'll accept the Lord. Believe on the Lord. Did not say believe in the Lord. Everybody believes in the Lord that's ever heard about Him. The devils, the demons, and the devil himself believes in the Lord. And the devil believes in salvation. And the devil believes in hell. And the devil believes that you need to be saved to be saved to go to heaven. But he ain't saved. Believing in that, the devil believes in the cross. The devil believes in the resurrection. And the devil knows how to get saved. You just ain't saved. Knowing those things, believing in those things, don't get you saved. Believing on Him. I believe in that little pew. I believe it can hold me up. But I am believing in it just by standing here. But when I believe on it, I sit down and rest in it and trust it, depend on it. There's a difference. He said, how do I get saved? How do I have eternal life? How do I go to heaven? How do I escape hell? And they said, believe on Him. Put your trust in Him. The morning I got saved, I'm telling you, my mind, I didn't have much of a mind left. It is a miracle that just that God's conviction broke through to where I could even reason. But that morning when I fell on my knees, I said something like, Lord, I need you. And those words, even though I did not utter the prescribed prayer, God be merciful to me, a sinner, the Lord knew my heart. And He knew I was believing on Him and depending on Him and trusting in Him completely. And when I got up, all my questions were not answered. But I knew as the time went on, something had happened to me at that altar. Something had happened. And I had believed on Him. trusted on Him. I'm going to heaven tonight because I'm trusting Him. Completely, totally. I do not depend on myself because I know myself ain't nothing but rotten. And the best I can do is filthy rags in His sight. But I know He did what needed to be done at Calvary. He satisfied the judgment of God, satisfied the holiness of God on Calvary, and I've depended on that. And that's the question that this Philippian jailer asked and got answered. Believe on Him, and you'll be saved. I ask you tonight on a Sunday night, has that happened to you? Are you saved? If I ask you, are you saved? Are you going to heaven? What would your answer be? If we came by one, could you say, I remember, now with me, March 2nd, 1975. You don't have to remember the date. You may say, I was 8 years old. It was summer. You don't have to have the date and the time nailed down, but you ought to be able to remember the experience. That type of experience is something that's real. And if you don't have that experience, I really question if you've had an experience, at least with the Lord. Questions deceive. Did God really tell me the truth? Is this Bible really true? Is it real? Can I believe it? Questions can detect. Lord, where am I? Lord, where am I? Show me my spiritual condition. Show me my true spiritual state. Questions can discourage. Sometimes those questions that we let run through our mind just drag us down. Questions can distract. We get our mind on the wrong thing instead of the most important thing, serving the Lord. And questions can determine your eternal state, where you're going to be. I'm not done. I guess you probably knew that. But questions can be so wonderful, but they can be so detrimental and so harmful. Maybe you just need to come tonight and pray about something. This altar's here. You may need to come and say, Lord, am I really saved? If I am, show me. If I'm not, show me. You may need to come and say, Lord, help me when those thoughts come, those questions come to my mind. They get me so down and so depressed. You may need to come and say along with God, where are you? Where are you?